ομι σεια σεσβαρε μη πριατό μη ταμβορο ην σουτραε τα κακόνατάε. A passing text in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord, Ali, the Lord of the highest auspiciousness, swims in the ocean of nectar. For him, what is the use of the water in small ditches? This verse expresses the conviction of a devotee of Lord Krishna and also his highest ambitions. You will be interested to hear that the nectar of devotion has a very similar third verse. In this verse, the devotees of Lord Krishna are compared to sharks, who happily swim in the ocean. Now it is described that these sharks have three qualities. One is, they always swim in the ocean. That's quality of the shark. The second quality is that the shark rejects the rivers which come into the ocean. And the third is that the shark never gets caught by the net of the fisherman. It's an analogy. This analogy describes a devotee. First of all, a devotee's quality is he is always in Krishna consciousness. He's in the ocean of Krishna consciousness. Second quality. This is very interesting. When fish is on the surface of the, this I will say later. So, the devotee is always in Krishna consciousness, like the shark. Second quality, the devotee rejects all types of impersonalistic meditations or new age trends, if you so want. Just like the shark, will never ever swim into the river. He knows the river just flows into the ocean. Its perfection is to reach the ocean. So, in a similar way, the devotee is assured that all processes of self-realization, or to put it in a more modern, self-finding, end in the ocean of devotional service. Now, the third quality of such a devotee is that he never gets caught by Maya's net, just like the shark never gets caught by the net. Now this requires something, eine Notwendigkeit. If the shark only flies on the surface of the ocean, he may get caught. Sometimes we have, built their lies and hide, their light or light, the white shark or Moby Dick, I think, got caught. And so on and so forth. But if the shark is deep, swimming deeply in the ocean, no chance to catch him. This is also not a devotee. A devotee, if he's only on the surface of the ocean of devotional service, the Maya's net can get him. You can ask some of the devotees here. They might have stories of which illustrate this. You don't believe. But those who go deep, they cannot be caught by Vishnu and Maya. So therefore, Vritasura prays here, a person fixed in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord, Hari, the Lord of the highest auspiciousness, very nice, the Lord of the highest auspiciousness, swims in the ocean of nectar. For him, what is the use of the water in small ditches? Isn't it? Like the shark, he's not interested to go into these shallow rivers. He's in the water. He's in swimming and jump and do whatever he feels like doing. So Now, in order to always stay in the, let me say, in the ocean of Krishna consciousness, it never goes to the rivers of either self-realization processes or just material life. You need to have a certain type of conviction. Conviction is extremely important in Krishna consciousness. In the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it is described that it is conviction which will determine whether or not you can stay in Krishna consciousness. If somehow this conviction is not with you, then there is great danger in your spiritual life. Then we revisit our happy birthday celebration, which is just the pre-birthday celebration, actually, before we were 25. We would visit it in 20 years, many of the faces wouldn't be present if they don't develop a strong conviction. And Sri Krishna is describing this in the third verse of the Gita. He says, those who are not faithful in this devotional service cannot attain me, O conqueror of enemies. Therefore they return to the path of birth and death in this material world. I feel we should maybe open for some time the windows so that all devotees can take part in the lecture. because this is such an important subject that we need to pay attention to this. Srila Prabhupada comments, we have practical experience in discharging our missionary activity, that some people come and apply themselves to Krishna consciousness, and as soon as they are a little well, they give up this process and take to the old ways again. Very dangerous discussed here, that someone takes up the process of Krishna consciousness and loops. And really, the deciding factor whether you can avoid this traumatic experience of leaving spiritual life is your faith or your conviction, in other words. The scriptures say that you can tell by faith the quality of a devotee. What is first of all the definition of faith? It is appearing here in the Madhya Lila, chapter 22, text 62. Shada Shakti Vishwas Kohesh Suridhaya Shai Krishna Bhakti Kaila Sarva Kanthita Hoy. It means a very interesting definition of faith. By rendering transcendental loving service to Krishna, one automatically performs all subsidiary activities. This confident, firm faith, favorable to the discharge of devotional service, this is called Shraddha. But what is my mind? I am a psychological modern being. I have to read a little bit in Hermann Hesse's works from time to time. What is about Manchevsky? I have to get an apartment as I get older. What is about my medical supply and my health insurance? Just by rendering transcendental loving service, this is taken care of. Guru Maharaj, this is an old-timer's version of transcendent life. We live in the approaching 20th century, you know, we need to follow the trends of society. Look how many have looped with this rendering transcendental loving service, and are miserable now by this rendering transcendental loving service. This is This is a great doubt which I would like to address today. By rendering transcendental loving service, do I get a husband? By rendering transcendental loving service, do I get a wife? No! I have to take things in my own hand. Look around what is in the rest of my interest, and not only think of rendering transcendental loving devotional service. I can't hear this any longer. Rendering transcendental loving devotional service. This is sometimes what you hear that you are a guru in modern times. We will address this, these doubts, in a little while. Now, let us just test, let us just keep to ourselves that a devotee, according to his conviction in Krishna's words that I take care of my devotee, is good. When his conviction is very weak, he is called a Kanishtha Adhikari. He is interested in worshipping and seeing the deity in the temple. He has difficulties to respect devotees. He usually has problems with devotees, Kanishtha Adhikari, and can't stay, appreciate the association, which is sometimes a little intensive, admittedly. So this is a Kanishtha Adhikari. When he hears some opposing argument, which is driving him, which counters Krishna consciousness, he develops a great doubt and is easily swayed. The Kanishtha Adhikari thinks that if I just work and produce results, this is synonymous, synonym to advancement in Krishna consciousness. When someone else produces more results, you get envious on him, and if he is not so productive, he might get depressed. Above this is a devotee who has more faith, the Madhyam Adhikari. The Madhyam, or intermediate devotee, he may hear an opposing argument. There may be a doubt also, but and he may not know the answer, but his faith is unshaken. Ultimately, the Uttam Adhikari knows the verses of the Shastras well and can give answers to all opposing opinions and disturbances to the process of Krishna consciousness. So you see that in this category, which you can read on your own in the Madhya Lila chapter 22, text 64 and continuing verses, in this you can see that the she who is an advanced devotee and who is in the beginning stages of this of her Krishna consciousness is really determined by the amount of faith in the process. That's how important, decisive, even shining, this faith is. So, I want to now take all of you back in time to the year 72 into a room in the Los Angeles temple. The power path is there. The inside, the move into this room, find a place, and we see Srila Prabhupada speaking very intensely to his devotees. This is something that I will tell you. I've already spoken about this in London, but we've never before in any other temple. It's a very confidential meeting. It's a GVC meeting. Srila Prabhupada meets here in 72 all these leading, all the leaders of the movement, and they are sitting before him. You can just imagine him with his glowing face, his kind smile, but also his sternness as he encourages his devotees in Krishna consciousness. We can almost compare him in this room with a mighty general who has called his officers together to tell them something very important and to see also if there is, so to say, if he can rely on them. So let us now hear Prabhupada's strong voice calling upon his leaders. It is an important movement. It is not a farce. The people are kept in darkness about God. We are delivering God. That must be pushed. What is your opinion? They say there is no God. And we say, here is God. What do you think? God is a person. And we give you his name and address. Now if you have any doubt whether Krishna is God, then you cannot do it. If you are not convinced, how you can convince others? My question is, whether you are all convinced on this point that Krishna is God, what is your opinion? And then Srila Prabhupada pauses. It's a long pause. Devotees who were sitting in this uncomfortable pause, remember the tense atmosphere even after this time. Jagadish Goswami tells us that he did not have the strength to answer. Yes, Prabhupada, I am convinced that Krishna is God. You see, men looked in different ways. Because if the spiritual master is just so intent, so intensive, and asks, you know, are you convinced that Krishna is God? Then it's very difficult to just have a positive, you know, childlike, yes, on the basis. You don't do this in the atmosphere. So then Prabhupada says with great conviction, so far I am concerned, I am convinced, and therefore I am pushing on. It is a fact. I'm pushing on because I'm pushing on fact, not fiction. That much I am personally convinced. Whenever someone says, you believe, I say, no! I don't believe. It is a fact. It is not a question of belief or not belief. This is called conviction. Here we see the Uttama Adhikari, the highest devotee, who is worshipping the Lord of the highest auspiciousness, this deep conviction that, yes, Krishna is God, Krishna accepts my service, and I will be going back, home back to God. Now, you might say, well, good, it was an interesting lecture this morning. I think we should end our participation now in the festival. If these GBC members are not convinced, he may also not be. How can he say, yes, I'm convinced that therefore this festival doesn't make any sense any longer to me, because this is a Krishna conscious festival and I'm not even convinced that Krishna is God. Goodbye, was a good attempt. Let us join the ranks of the faithless. or by black and white, I'm not so strong, I'm not faithless, but I'm so on, so. At And I mean, to say it very bluntly, this is by not at all satisfactory. If we remain, so to say, in to understand weaknesses, therefore overcoming them, to become aware of weaknesses, is not a tragic or dramatic thing, it is positive, so that we can surmount them or overcome them. So first of all, I would like to start by pointing out that everyone has faith. Just the fact that you are sitting here on this floor means you have some type of faith that won't break, you know. You will fall into the cellar, to the potatoes. or just simple things like walking. There is some basic faith that the ground will carry me. Or today you will eat something. Hopefully we're a little hungry after the Pharisee. There is some faith that this will be good for me. And, not that some cook who wanted to be in the lecture and is frustrated has poison. some basic, very basic faith is there. It is stated that everyone's faith is based on his or her mind, which simply reflects the modes of the material nature. This is a very interesting statement. According to our disposition, we have faith in certain things. Krishna speaks, for instance, Arjuna asks him, how can I see in what is the kind of faith in someone else? And Krishna tells him a few areas where one could look. First of all, worship should be looked at. Who or what does somebody worship? That shows faith. See, those beings who have faith in the mode of goodness are attracted to worship God. But those, for instance, who are in the mode of passion, they worship demons, like Hitler, for instance, was worshipped by a whole nation. I mean, if you see the ritual of the Nazi regime, how they were sanctifying flags, how they were shouting, Haribol, you know, means Jai, or that's a deep fire, also some Jai, that means also victory, you know. How there was like an altar, and they would, the fire was burning, Hitler was going there, you know, and how he was on a high podest speaking. Worship, but worship of demons. Or you can see how the rock and roll stars are worshipped. You know, people, you know, want some prasad from them. They begin to, you know, run to the stages. I don't believe it's really done any longer, but previously people used to run to the stages and cut hair, you know, to get some prasad. I was once in a concert with Nina, and I gave her a little Krishna. She was very Krishna conscious in that stage. Then in the midst of the song, she offered an apple to Krishna, which no one could see, except, you know, I who was looking for the prophet, who was to love service somewhere in, under the roof, you know, looking for me. There. And then she took the apple, and ate it and threw it, you know, into the audience. And the audience all went like, you know, to catch it, and you know, they're struggling to get it. The Maha. Actually, it was my, if you look at it, you know, it was offered to Krishna, but the audience didn't know this. They wouldn't take it as unoffered. It's nearly enough. So this shows worship. studied them amongst the young people in the mode of patience. Everyone does aversion to some extent. It's not only that we the devotees do it, only we are supposed to be in the mode of goodness, and therefore we worship God, not the demon or leader of materialistic society. You can also look at food. You just need to sit in the restaurant and see what someone orders. You know, if he orders meat, his faith is in the mode of ignorance. He likes hot things. He is a passionate man. So this is all described in the Bhagavad Gita in great detail, how faith is dependent on the modes of nature. And this somewhat philosophical point brings me to an existential point. Sometimes devotees in Krishna consciousness lack faith. It happens to all of us, or will happen to all of us at one stage. Now, this thing of faith, you know, that you lack faith or you have faith, is not necessarily a question of knowledge, but it is a question in which mood you are. In other words, sometimes you can preach to someone to install or restore his or her faith by giving knowledge to him. But it doesn't really, faith doesn't depend on knowledge. It depends on what mode of nature influences you. When you come under the mode of, you know, sometimes devotees say to me, I don't really have faith in Krishna or Guru. And often it is when you look closer that this devotee has become covered more by ignorance and passion. I was very much thinking about this point when I was in England the last week. We had a Vaishnava Christian conference where very intelligent Vaishnavas were invited. Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, who has a PhD in theology, the science of religion, I believe, I'll say for sure. And the creme de la creme of the English Christians. One was the professor of the theology in the Oxford University, which is one of the most prestigious houses of learning, others were bishops, and so on and so forth. And then, you know, we wanted to speak about philosophy, that was both of our ideas, I saw how difficult it was for them to accept that there is a soul which is different from the body, which is a resident of the kingdom of God, who is categorically different, and so on. And the devotees made the point, till finally I could not contain myself. Listen to me now. We are talking so near not here and foreign to look, there are so many empirical proofs for the existence of our soul, even given by doctors and hospitals, you know, these out-of-body experiences. And I said to them, I had one of these experiences, and you can't tell me that I'm the body any longer. I can't believe it, because I was outside of the body. If I would be just chemical elements lying there, what would I do up in the air, looking at my chemical elements? And, you know, I could really see they were trying to understand the concept of the eternal soul. But because they were eating meat most properly and not following the principles of a sattvic life in the mode of goodness, the existential conditions together with knowledge, they are not fulfilled. I feel this is a very important point for preachers, also for Gadadhar, who is preaching Krishna consciousness in academic or intellectual circles. Certain conclusions, which are very easy to make for a person who lives a sattvic life, cannot be repeated by someone who is in the lower modes. It's simply not possible. They see but they don't see. They hear but they don't hear. It's just as if there's a blockage, so to say. So, next time you walk into a faith crisis, please keep this in your mind. Your crisis may not have to, has very often not much to do with Krishna consciousness or with Krishna or the spiritual master. It has to do with modes of nature which become stronger because we are just conditioned souls. It's just when a devotee falls asleep. What happens is that the mode of ignorance begins to slowly cover him. It's not a question of knowledge or not knowledge that he cannot pay attention any longer. It's not a question of the lecture. It's just the question of the modes which cover him. This is how conviction is highly affected by our conduct of the Mahayana practitioner day. Atasi Krishna na vadi na bhavet grayam indriyai sevanu kehi jivado svayam eva spuratyata. It is said that someone who is covered who is covered by has therefore only material senses, materialized senses at his disposal, can never understand the sweetness of Krishna's name, form, quality, pastimes. It is simply not possible. Say one who can he must, what must he do? What should he do? He should begin the process of devotional service with chanting the rounds, and listening to the pastimes of the Lord. We will talk about this in the evening, tomorrow evening. I intend to talk, maybe this evening I want to talk about the different new pastimes of, not new pastimes, but maybe new for many of us, of Lord Nityananda, so that we can get in the mood of Nityananda's appearance day already. But one of our lectures will be on the holy name and how to chant it. It is totally new information which you will hear coming from various parts of Prabhupada's books and other books. Once there was a devotee who had a crisis of faith, and Srila Prabhupada dealt with this devotee in a very interesting way. This devotee wrote Prabhupada a whole list of perplexing questions. Prabhupada answered them all, but then he asked, this is the last part of the letter, may I ask if you chant your rounds without offenses? Indicating that understanding, knowledge, and therefore conviction and faith have to do a lot with our state of consciousness. It's not a question just of answers which are given. Ultimately, we have to know we cannot solve our existence by knowledge or dhyan. Can be only done, our problems of material life can be finished only by bhakti. Krishna says, bhakti amam abhijanati yavan yashasvi tatvataha. Only someone who is engaging in the process of bhakti and is full with that bhakti, he says, he can enter into the kingdom of God. your knowledge is not the proper vehicle which will bring us back home back to Godhead. It is bhakti, which is also based on knowledge. I mean, not that we should not read or anything, but this is what really counts, is bhakti. If it is not there, then all the knowledge cannot really help us to be convinced in Krishna consciousness. The mind will come up with the newest doubt, newest doubt, and newest doubt. We will not get peace even with a million answers. So, my question today, really, is do you want to be convinced? This is a very interesting question. If you want to answer the question of Prabhupada, are you convinced? I feel really the first question which we must ask ourselves is, do I want to be convinced? And how can I become convinced? I mean, now obviously this conviction, obviously all of you are convinced, otherwise you would not be sitting here this morning. No, but I mean this conviction now of the Shraddha is the definition which appeared in the Smarta Lila verse, that everything is taken care of by transcendental loving devotional service, just like a water pool of the will take care of all the roots, no, all the branches and leaves in the same way. If I just do my service free from the different varieties of offenses, then all my needs are taken care of. But do you want this conviction? This is an interesting question. To say yes would mean that you want to end totally your axiom in this world. That you want to close all interfusion, all backdoors, which might still, you know, be available to exit in a form of compromise in devotional service of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada lectured on this once when he brought the point of when he spoke from the Bhagavatam on the word on the verse Vidyate Vidyagrantis Chitvate Sarva Sankshaya. He said that this verse says that by applying the process of Krishna consciousness, which basically means to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, to serve pure devotee, that by applying this process, all doubts are cut in the heart. Then Prabhupada says, by study of the Srimad Bhagavatam, this hearing, you become completely doubtless. God is the Supreme Person, He is sentient, the Supreme Director, the Supreme Knower, the Supreme Physicist, the Supreme Chemist. Who's the physical? And then who's the chemical? Everything supreme. Generally, they say this is stories that Krishna lived with the Govardhan hill. Atheists say that, the Prabhupada begins to smile, and we sometimes say it. Meaning that the devotees also say, this is a story, this one thing, a huge mountain. It's nice to hear in the evening before going to bed, but let's keep physicists. But we say, no! You must be firmly convinced in Krishna again. Consciousness. Yes! Krishna did it. If you want to be advanced in Krishna consciousness, you must be free from all doubts. You must know perfectly well what is Krishna consciousness. Drive away your doubts. And this is done if you ask Lord Gaura Singha to appear in your life. Gaura Singha is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this lion-like form, who by his roaring, chases away the elephants of doubts and anathas. He is one devotee for sure at the same time. Transcendental devotee, there is not even one elephant of Maya next to him. The roaring of the lion Gora has really chased them all away. In due course of time before. The doubt is just like another anatta. It does not have a logical explanation, like lust. Lust is not logical. It is an imagination. It appears, for instance, when a man will see the shadow of a pole. Of a tree, or what you want. He sees his shadow on the ground and thinks, wow, this is what I was looking for. And then he goes there and sees it's only a shadow. Because our physical bodies are composed of shadow, not of substance, of matter, and not of the spirit. But we imagine, oh, wow. This non-substance, that is what I was looking for. With us, I don't look at his face, and since the Vaishnava who even left the Bhakta program to embrace a shadow, and to find out, oh, there's no substance there. Let's quickly run back to the Bhakta program. Yes, Prabhupada has a wrong approach to the wrong idea. So doubt is also a wrong idea. It is based on imaginations of the mind. That has to be therefore dealt with by elevating ourselves in Krishna consciousness. So do you want this? Do you want to be convinced? Or let me say now I will stop my intense style of lecturing this morning. I will say, wouldn't it be nice to be convinced? Wouldn't it be just nice to have all the black elephants of doubts, you know, who trample on our hearts? Doubt in who, doubt in Krishna, doubt in deities, doubt in the holy name, doubt in the process, doubt in the books, doubt in the... When does it end? They go... Do you want it? Wouldn't it be nice if they all go to Africa, you know, and remain hidden in the mosquito-infested bushes of wild Africa? So if you want that this happens, there is a very simple process. And doubts are sometimes compared to be like smoke. If you want the smoke to be less, you have to make the fire more. If you want to become more happy in Krishna consciousness, you have to do more service. You have to find your place in Krishna consciousness. Then from there you can offer the service with full satisfaction of mind and heart and full enthusiasm. And in ending, I want to speak about this. I've made this point several times over the last weeks or so. I will do it also here before such a wonderful audience of devotees who are extremely dear to me. And it's a realization which came upon me after my recent walk through the Valley of Darkness with the Tal der Dunkelheit. I have seen some things there. And I really feel for a devotee to live a life where he can be happy in his devotional service and convinced in Krishna consciousness. One needs to look at three human factors or human areas. I'm always reminded in this, you know, I become a little bit disturbed when someone falls asleep in my classes. It's huge or an overwhelming amount of false ego, which is still there. So, but then when I see devotees just going like this, actually, although I'm still very, sometimes a little heavy because I want them to listen, the real, I really feel in my heart compassion, because I know what it is to be tired. I feel it is necessary for you, all of you, to find enough rest. This is something which I'm strongly convinced after the walk through that valley of darkness. You need to see that you are physically taken care of. Enough healthy food. Yeah, no, you never heard this from the Vietnam side from me. I'm a reformed person. I'm not really in action yet, but in mind at least. Please take care that your physical existence is acceptable, that you don't have to always sleep with being, and whenever a little cold comes, then you get it totally, you have a grip infected, flu, and so on. Just take care that the body is there. Now, those that, their Prabhupada says, this famous part, that our soldiers, to be strong to fight against Maya, need to be physically fit. Mentally, they need to be fit. And that's the second point I want to make. Why so much worries in the mind? No need to worry. Just see, if you want to be strong in your mind, think every day deeply about our philosophy. There must be something deep in your umski. You must train the mind. Then you are strong. Every day. If I would now ask, I'm not doing it because it's just too ridiculous, but if I would ask Gaura Hari, our Sankirtan lion from Sweden, to please make 20 straight back push-ups. I can guarantee you, Gaura Hari, by the way your physical body looks, you would maybe do, just if everyone says, hey, 10 3/4 of a push-up. Because you have not trained it. You're not doing it very well. So that's physical strength. Mental strength has to also practice. Just like someone who does not make exercises can't take it. Take it means to make a show when he is requested of 20 strong push-ups. In the same way, you can't remain mentally strong, or let me say, convinced, and just immune to doubts, if you don't practice this most precious gift of God, the brain. Most of us had the training, a mental training in the school. And after school, you know, where you had to write the exams and notes, it stopped. You have no challenges any longer in your life. This is not good. Look for projects on which you work. Think, I'm going to remember this shloka today, every week a shloka. Or, you know, prepare yourselves to preach Krishna consciousness strongly. Don't always say the same things. That's why I always take notes. You know, sometimes people think, well, you are always have a blank notebook with you. What's wrong with you? Can't you talk without notes? And I want to talk new things. Because once I have talked them, they're in the brain. I want to expand it every lecture or every day. Become stronger in mind, so that even at the moment of death, when the body is in extreme pain, the mind is much stronger than the body. But this Krishna consciousness. So the mental area has to be trained, and the third is relationships with devotees. I was talking about this in Heidelberg, I believe. Do you know that most probably all members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness agree with each other on 99% of points? We are the soul. What do you think, Rogar Arana?
Yes.
No problem. There really is something like Maya. What do you think, Girachandra?
Yes.
You see it every day on Sankirtan. There really is Krishna. What do you think, Jagannath?
Yes.
No problem, I agree. This is my faith. Onions are not good. What do you think, Krishna?
Yes.
I like to eat them. When I was at Mayal Serbia, it's no longer happening. You know, people agree on things like diet, on things like love, very deep things, knowledge, goals in life.
Goal in nature, we have the same goal.
That's a rarity. Usually you have a group of people, they have as many goals as people, or if you are in Poland, there are double as many goals. They're very creative things. So we have all the same goal, basically. At least at Allah. Maybe we have different goals in between. Somebody may say, my goal is to stay brahmachari, another say, my goal is to marry, or take sannyas, or vanaprastha, you know, like this. But at the ultimate end, we all want to say, yeah, my goal is Krishna. So, although this is the case, the rest of mind, this is what I have also learned by now, that languages. And the rest of that mind very often concentrates on the 1% which is maybe different. These differences become blown up into an enormous proportion and build the basis, or are the basis, for quarrel amongst devotees, or reserved feelings amongst devotees, and so on. This is not intelligent. This is not good. Even marriages sometimes quarrel, that the whole world hears about it, although one accepts Krishna. One may even have the same spiritual mindset. One eats the same food, you know. Everything same. Why make such a huge thing? It's only the rest of mind. It has nothing to do with reality. So this is, if you want to be good and strong in Krishna consciousness, Buddhi Doma, be good. Vaishnav, be good. Then, those who are then have good relationships. But Krishna makes a point of this in the Uddhava Gita by saying to Uddhava that there is no greater pain, he says, than the sharp words of someone who is close to you. So this is the third area to be watched, the third area of relationships. Of course, this, what I've just said, you will hear from any psychologist today. It's not something very, very, very glorious to say, but it is something necessary. We as devotees take care of these areas from the Krishna conscious area perspective, and therefore from this perspective we put light into these areas. We eat healthy akshara. We have a strong mental Prabhupada spoke about the mental culture of Krishna consciousness by reading the books. We have strong relationships amongst Vaishnavas by serving the Vaishnavas in a Krishna conscious way and following the advices given by Srila Rupa Goswami about Vaishnava exchange. So, yes. So this will all help us to become strong. And then we will be convinced that Krishna consciousness is alright. Doubts in Krishna consciousness often come if the areas are not well taken care of in Krishna consciousness, and they come when the modes of material nature are just taking over. So please work on this, become more convinced in Krishna consciousness, utilize the wonderful association of convinced Vaishnavas which are here in this room, many, in this way make your life perfect in your Krishna consciousness. Please know that what is the use of the water in small ditches? If you have an ocean there, you have the ocean of Krishna consciousness. Why be attracted to something else? Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Isi Om Nikaya ki jai. Thank you for listening. Do you have any
this conviction which we have probably not over 90%. But isn't it like that this conviction are like institutionalized?
Mm-hmm.
Like this is what everybody knows. This is what
we are supposed to believe.
Yes, we are supposed and everybody believes and it's nothing special. So we don't work on that. Which we would have to come to this conviction by experience or by belief. We just accept it because everybody accepts it. We would be also a little awkward if we felt something else.
Yeah.
So therefore, this is not a reliable basis for our living together.
Yes.
Our
I want to thank you very much for this question, this final question, which I will also ask after such a lecture. So let me repeat the question again. You spoke that the devotees in the movement for Krishna consciousness, to 90% they are convinced of the same things. Now Gadadhara raises an intellectual doubt, which comes like a cobra into our assembly. Very dangerous. He said, this is an institutional thing. We all joined the same movement, and we are supposed to believe in this. We have not experienced it in ourselves. We have most often not come to the conclusions, we have not worked on them on ourselves. This is not there. And this is really the essence of my question. Prabhupada said, are you convinced? He did not want an answer by anything. Yes, we have learned this, and therefore we say, are you convinced of what you said? So, I personally was confronted with this question coming from myself. I'm asking from morning to evening questions to myself. It's a very nice practice. It's a Chakras technique and the Bhagavatam technique to bring subject matters forth. Parikshit Maharaj was always asking questions. He brought the nectar for me. So I remember once I was preaching. I was very, very young. It was like a little jump. It was almost a walk back into my past. See, when I was living in Hamburg, it was a time of social unrest. all these ideas from America about building a new society independent of the old, they're very much relevant. There was one place where a lot of this talk or culture, you could say, conglomerated was in Kabulinstraße. And I would often go there. And it was, you know, a place of liberality, boys and girls associated, mingled freely with each other, interesting lectures were there, so common. And I had just joined. It was a place where also often sometimes was, and friends lived and so on. And I remember I went into this old house and I felt something strange happening in me. I became attracted to this old house. I remember I opened a door and I heard my favorite musical group, the very loud elevating texts. Then I opened another door and I saw two young people breaking the principle. Then I opened another door and I saw all the things which are real attachments usually. All together. It was a house which was subventioned by the town, paid by the town. A rehabilitation center. That was the official thing. But inside it, and the revolution went on inside, you know. And I remember it was like really walking through my past, looking into everything, and I was ropes of attachments coming like this time I was not such in London, I was still a ghost. And then before doing anything foolish, I unfortunately, went out. And I remember I went to a bench and I would sat there that evening. I did not return to the temple in time. I came at 12 o'clock because I was really thinking, now you have joined this movement on some conviction which you have. The material life is not delivering the fruits which it is promising. So it is not delivering the fruit which it is promising to do. That's your conviction. Then you have some conviction that you are essentially non-different from this body and a resident of the eternal kingdom of God. Now, how deep is this? And if it is deep, why did you become so bewildered? And all of a sudden I saw it's not deep and I have to work on this. I have to understand that Krishna consciousness is the real thing. That means I must work on this. What means work? Well, let me see what is the process. Atasi Krishna na madhi na vavit krayam indri. I like this verse at that time very much. It means you can't understand Krishna with covered senses. We were talking about this earlier in our lecture. And I noticed I must be in connection with strong devotees. So my motto became then to always look for strong association, not weakening association. And what's the process really to become Krishna conscious? It is chanting. Then I must go through, and I must advance in chanting. And I want to tell you very, very honestly, I'm still asking my God brothers how to chant better, how to avoid offenses, because I know this is what Mahaprabhu gave. It is 99% of our advancement is based on the quality of chanting. Shouldn't we begin to take it a little serious? To become more deep in Krishna consciousness. So, Garada, yes, you're not expected to believe something because there is an authority behind you, in a movement, and you are not looked upon well, and that you, are not convinced or not doing like this. See, when the authority goes, it's not there. Then, if you are not convinced on your own, you believe. Like Srila Prabhupada left the planet, and many of his disciples left with him. I will also leave you, at some time. I have a feeling it will not be so long. And then, if you just do because the authority is behind you, then you will be finished. You must come to a realization inside. It must be very firm inside. Otherwise, problems will arise. It's not, in other words, just some lecture. Are you convinced? This is one of the key issues of Krishna consciousness. We have to develop our conviction on our own. It must be. It must live in us. And for this, really, there are three stages a devotee must go through. The first stage is like the child stage. The middle stage is like the middle stage, or you could say youth stage. And the final stage is what I would call the grown-up stage. In education or teaching, the child is not given any freedom. No, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. The child is given all freedom up to 5 years. But then, from 5 to 10 years, the person is really trained. A lot of information is given to him. A lot of learning experiences are supplied. And the learning situation, the learning situation, and then at the end, the person is expected to know and have realized the subject matter. Prabhupada says, neophyte means no independent decision. It's like. Like, the person who is learning. Huh? No free will. That means surrender. But when he is trained up, then automatically he gets this freedom. Just like small child. They only eat things that are sanctioned by the parents. This is, we should come away from the stage where we become grown up in our Krishna consciousness. So that we know out of our own conviction what to do and what not to do. It's not good for the relationship of the spiritual master and the disciple. If the spiritual master, after the disciple is a little grown up, has to still work at the basic points like faith or like following the rules and regulations and so on, this will create a strain in the relationship. Srila Prabhupada used to say this. He said, now I'm an old man. Why do I have to tell you to shave your head? It is not good. It will create a strain in the relationship. The disciple must do it on his own, knowing well why to do it. Having given all the reasons and all the explanations. That is what it means to be mature in one's discipleship. And then I derived the Shulashap, mature discipleship. Obviously my answer is to the devotee audience. Now, if Professor Franske would ask this question, I would answer it in a different way. even devotees here. So, what I can just say, I really don't want to give all my secrets away now, but the secret really lies in the holy name, and taking shelter in the holy name. We will have something like this in the whole lecture called taking shelter in the holy name. There we will talk about many such secrets. But for now, yes, you should be convinced on your own. You should be like the moon, Gadadhara, who reflects the rays of the sun in the night when the sun is not there any longer. He gets it. Or like the candle, it receives the light and now it burns, and the candle on its own dispels the dark.
Sometimes I saw that devotees, like you mentioned the point with taking care about physical care.
Yeah.
And there are devotees who take care, but somehow they become mentally weak because they take too much care, so to say. And then they are, you know, like resting longer, too long in the morning, and then they cannot. Can you say something about that?
Get totally in the body consciousness, and we will only be able to eat our food from the reform house if there is food, so that is expensive food. And take anti-aging cream. Yes, we have to be balanced. Then otherwise we get too much of the body perception. Srila Prabhupada displayed such an indifference to his body of. Like, one morning he woke up smiling and he said, now my last tooth is gone. And just before he left the body, the devotees had to put talcum powder over his body to reduce his swelling. And then he used to laugh and say, I'm looking just like Shiva now. So whitish. Like a cloud. Yes, it must be done in the balance state. That's all I can do.
Actually, it's not like when we take more care about mental, that the body will also.
When our minds are healthy, our bodies will follow. This is the secret in overcoming disease. You have to develop like a positive attitude. The beauty is also, but sometimes it's just too much what devotees are doing. I'm one of those, you know, never sleeping, never eating on time, you know, when the body is sick, just going even 200 meters, going stronger, even not taking care. This is not, I was talking more about this, but you're totally right, the mind is not, if you're heavy in the mind, there's a book on it, how every disease can be related to a certain mental problem. Have you read this book? Very interesting. It really works on something for the Institute of this collection. And since he's our UBC, he's our authority. Nice to see you here, Jeff. So long. Yes,
it's your question. This question has already been discussed, but I couldn't really read the
point.
When we're But for example, if we've been confronted with doubts or attacked by lust or facing some obstacles like bodily problems, is there Maya person or principle we can blame for that? Or, and if not, why we are using such slogans like war on Maya, probably saying last near of Maya?
Yeah. When we are over, let me just see if I understood it. No, please make it clear, but I think I did. When we have, when we are overcome this obstacle, like lust, so on and so forth, doubts, can we really make Maya responsible? And if not, why do we make such statements as war of Maya? Sex is dead, but something else, that's all this t-shirt or something else. Sex is dead. Yes. Well, this answer was asked to me 1 year ago at almost the same time by the session was asked. The last member, like that, I remember this. I had at that time told the story of Agastya Muni, who once went to the court of Janaka Maharaj. And Janaka asked him, how long do we stay in Maya? He is living entities. And Agastya went to the pillar. They were like this, screaming to them.
Let me go!
You know, he went. And then he just let go of out of the nevers. That was his answer. It meant we can let go of Maya at any time. Now, your question is slightly different, but I needed to say this. Your question is, is Maya really responsible for holding, us? And in my answer I said, no, you are responsible. In this, to answer this a little bit more deep, is by your desire to enjoy the material world, you give Maya a chance. It really originates from you, like a pure devotee who doesn't have this desire, may live in the material world, liberated from it. Yaya yahariya dasye karma samana sa vacha, says Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sutra. Those who serve the Lord in this world, who birth their body, birth in this little place, we are shut our minds, they are liberated. Maya cannot do anything. But yes, if you want, you are still a little bit attracted, you will be tested by this Maya. Prabhupada once said, Maya's duty is to see that no one passes her who will later disturb Krishna. It's almost like someone who, you know, the discotheque, you have to see people who watch out that no improperly dressed Hare Krishna devotee is coming there. No disturbing elements going on. Who drags the mood down. So in the same way, Maya takes care that no improper person comes. She tests us. It's like a test on fire. Fire test. This is how Srila Prabhupada explains it in another way. It will be sometimes very hard. Maya will test you. And by this test, you can become mature in Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada said, I know when I had my health crisis, it was a heavy test which came. But if you remain true to Krishna consciousness, you profit so much from this. Now I'm speaking about yet another subject, a slightly different subject. Maya will come and test all of us. even if we are in good Krishna consciousness, and we were mature through these tests. These are the truth. She comes for the, let me say, unsurrendered soul, who is still attached, and just the right thing comes for him to fall in Maya. But she also still comes. That is then a different thing. She is sent by Krishna to attend the devotees, so to see that he will not make things. This is how a devotee sees. Disease was sent by the Lord Krishna to make me understand something. Or this crisis was sent by Krishna to make me understand this, how a devotee is. He will always think everything comes through to Krishna. Is there a difference between taste crisis and faith crisis? No, I wouldn't say so. Sometimes you just taste not so much. It may have different causes. Sometimes it may be. For instance, sometimes you can't relish the chanting, but it may be that you are tired, like a tired man. Then you can't get into it so much, or into the kirtan. Therefore, my request to all of you, some of you look very tired. Take enough rest. You are allowed to take rest today, as long as after, you know, the rounds must be ended, and so on. But this is a festival. There's not much really to do. A few things which Yamananda will tell us in the kitchen. But otherwise, you are on a festival. It's free time. Rest when it's necessary. Of course, not too much, because you can also have so... This festival is like a universe. You can get anything you want in it. A lot of rest, too much rest, the right amount of rest. You can get Maya here, or Krishna. It is like a mini-universe. Good association. We talk also with devotees. I don't know. No, yeah, no. All everyone is a good association. Anything you want, you can get in this festival. You can get Lord Chaitanya's and Lord Nityananda's mercy. Awesome. So, but my point is to really to do with peace rest. Some of you just fall out of this sleep. This is rest. And please, those who do need rest, be tiptoeing in the restrooms. Be considerate. I'm saying this now because I'm dying and open up to this, that it has to be done. So it can have such a cause. You can try it tomorrow. Don't sleep the whole night, and then see how you will perceive the festival tomorrow. Days that you will go through tomorrow. Days just the components. But sometimes it's due to that also. The crisis of taste sometimes is a crisis of faith, because you just can't get yourself to the processes by which taste comes on. Could be, I was looking around, hoping that not too much. We will have to end here, because otherwise the whole is. Keep your question for this evening. Go to mind. Yes. It's like an ocean. The pearls are really on the ground. If you are on the surface, then you get the hearing, yeah? You know, the small fishes, you know. If you want the pearls, you have to go deep. Otherwise, only fishes, you know, small little monsters, fishes. Which most of you will not understand. I think I understand, so let's just make sure. So, you say it's a fact of life that we go up and down, sometimes enthusiastic, sometimes not. So, because this is a fact of life, shouldn't we think more about Vanashrama, then we take the slow path but sure path, then move back to Godhead. How to combine the Grihastha Ashram with the highest goal in Krishna consciousness? I know. How can we realistically go back home, back considering our sometimes up and down nature? Yes, but this question I really want to answer. I have prepared a lecture with all my secrets into this lecture. It's a very, very interesting subject matter. Coming attractions. What is the title of this lecture? Be realistic. It's exactly you who is fine. Very satisfied. But the rest enough so that you can hear it. So I want to thank all of you very, very much. Now, please. I know that I'm, again, very intense. I'm in my intense mood in Prisha. Please, whenever I'm getting a little bit too intense, just say, he means well. I really feel this is my chance as a devotee of Krishna, because all of you have come to be with a prime motive to be inspired in Krishna consciousness, and I therefore need to address these subjects, before talking about the highest ecstasy of Nityananda. It is very, very important. I have something in mind, so please stick with me, even if I should sometimes be a little intense in my presentation. It must be because we must move out these dark elephants. When we leave the festival, all our dark elephants must be in the jungle of Africa. That's our goal, you know, trample on our Krishna conscious mind. That's why we do a little hunting season this morning. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.